Good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning.
Is that me?
Yeah. Okay. I can't remember if I turned it on or not. I did. Season for Jesus. Of course, the reason, you know, for the season is Jesus. We just had to find something this month. In case you're curious, typically I don't do this. But this month, I'm going to be each Sunday morning pulling passages from the book of Mark, 16 chapters, book of Mark. Today, we're going to pull some passages from Mark 1, 2, 3, and 4. And also the passages. Brother Brad didn't want me to be in the dark. Thank you. That's some love right there. I normally catch that, but so if you're curious, you can just review four chapters of each of the Sundays here. Kind of look at the life of Jesus and obviously examine ourselves and edify and uplift ourselves from lessons from God's holy word about Jesus. Yeah, every season should be about Jesus. But as you can see, there are special times for special flowers. As somebody has done this so beautifully, whoever did it, thank you very much. But that's the other reason why I got the green and the red on our slides today. Don't know whether I'm going to follow that suit or whether I'll have a different flavor next week. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people in their life that they have seasons for. You know, we had deer hunting, right? Season still going on. Some places they've cut off firearms. It's just bow season. Some places they've cut it off and you just hunt with a muzzle loader. Some places up in Michigan, there's a whole bunch of counties where you can still hunt with a high-powered rifle during this time of the year. I would enjoy being up there at this time doing that, but at other life's commitments, other people have scheduled my seasons for me. How does that happen? That happens in our lives, right? How many of us have to abide by a schedule that other people dictates? Man, oh man. For those days when I was single and I could do whatever I wanted whenever I wanted, except for, you know, going answering to the boss. Well, yes and no. We drove up to Merrillville, Gary, Indiana last night for our company's Christmas party and drove back this morning. They got time change up there. They're an hour earlier. So we got up at 4:30 their time this morning to get ready to drive back down here. My wonderful wife, I was up before her, and that's not normal for us, but anyways. I'm just talking about different seasons and things that happen in our lives. We got racing season, football season, basketball season, whatever other season comes around. I got growing season for you farmers, you know. The world picks December for being a season for Jesus or a holiday season. But yet God's holy word tells us to rejoice always. And to have hope, peace, and joy always. To have Jesus always. I'd like for us to look at the passage this morning that Brother Phil read so eloquently. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Out of the chapter of book of Mark, the first chapter, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." What season is it, Jesus? It's time to repent and it's time to believe in the gospel. And that time and that season is still in our lives, brothers and sisters and friends. It is time. I don't know about you. Am I the only one that had to repent of something this last week? Say, "Satan, get behind me." That's part of being in Him and have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And his word directing our hearts and minds is being able to say, get behind me, Satan. Forgive me of that. I repent because I believe in the gospel, the good news. I believe in Jesus. And after Jesus said that, there's a lot of stuff that happened right here. You notice Mark is kind of condensed. Some of the other books are a little bit longer, again, are 10, 12 chapters. Mark is the shortest gospel there is. But I would also look at Jesus' words where he says, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now that's easy for them to say, you know what, they were fishermen. So he's just going to make them fishers of men. Now there's a series and some people that go around promoting how and teaching people how to be fishers of men, which is very admirable. But for us this morning to apply it to our hearts and to ask, have I ever been a fisher of men? Do I ever want to be a fisher of men? Does Jesus want me to be a fisher of men? What season is it? Fishing season, right? Pike season. See, I'm going to start mentioning all the bass season. You can catch them crappies and bluegills anytime, you know, them panfish. There's a walleye season. There's a salmon season. We are so used to having seasons in our lives and times for this and times for that, but sometimes we get in the habit of saying, gee whiz, we just need to think about Jesus during the holiday season. And he is so precious and great and magnificent that he deserves to be the season of our lives every day. And the same thing with being able to become fishers of men. The season is always open to be fishing for people that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. But sometimes we want to take our fishing permit that Jesus gives us here and just put that permit on a shelf. And when I have a convenient season, I'm going to share Jesus with somebody. And what happens if I go fishing? Adam and I are going to go fishing. Someday, again. We both love to fish. I don't know, some of you other guys like to fish too. We load up the boat. And away we go. We decide we're going fishing. And we get out there on the water and he looks at me and he says, where's the poles? I said, I thought you was bringing the poles. He says, well, where's the bait? Well, I thought you was bringing the bait. And then the DNR guy comes by and says, where's your licenses? And you start mumbling and you're not prepared. And I ask this in our lives. If you're going to be a fisher of men, are you prepared? Do you have the Word of God in your heart? Are you thinking about spiritual things? Have you asked God to prepare you? Are you praying to be ready to help those that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, those that are lost? And those of you that don't like fish, I can tell you what, my dad, I mean, probably told you this, I'll tell you again. My dad loved to fish. But I only seen him eat fish one time. He never liked to eat fish. I wish I'd have asked. I just knew he didn't like fish. I wish I would have asked him, because now, you know, he's been gone for over 30 years from this sort of thing. Why didn't you, you know, I learned how to fish from my dad. Didn't like to eat fish. Do you think the apostles said, you know what, I just want to be catching fish. I don't want to catch men. I don't want to fish for men. Not today. That's not for me. I'll use this as another example. I got a brother that wants to fish for walleye all the time. All the time. That's what he wants to go fish for. He lives right where one of the best salmon fisheries are in the world. He wants to fish for walleye. Okay? He thinks bass. He said, God created bass so everybody could catch fish. That's what he says. Okay? Brother Adam's father is one of the top 10 bass fishermen in the state of Indiana. Those of you
anymore. But just, it's, everybody has an opinion about fishing, see? I don't fish for this kind of fish. How about us? I'm going to fish for this kind of person. I'm going to fish for this kind of person. I'm only going to share my faith with this kind of person. I'm only in season right now to be amiable. I'm only going to be nice to people because I think it's the holiday season. I should only feel peace, joy, and love during the holiday season.
Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Full time. Full time. Open season all the time. I pray for us to recognize that there are people that need our help every single day that we come in contact with in our lives. In Mark chapter 2, it is written, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, and I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose and took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, and he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think it's unique as we go back to fishers and fishers of men that I think there's a lot of us sometimes in our lives, we're fishing for those people that aren't sick. We're not looking for those that are sick. We're fishing for those people that already are proclaiming the faith. Or, just like these people said, instead of fishing for men, they're fishing for trouble. They're fishing for a way not to fish. Not to follow Jesus in their life. Let me see if I can find a way out of sharing Jesus with people around me. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician. He didn't say immerse yourself in sin and do sinful things. But he said, look around you and reach out to the people that really need the help. The passage begins with the leaders and the multitudes saying, you can't do that, Jesus. You're not the Son of God. And there's times in our lives when Satan says, you can't do that. You can't share your faith. You can't tell people about sin. You can't help them. But that's not true. Because there's always a season for Jesus. There's always an opportunity for us to share Jesus. In Mark chapter 3, it is written, when the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons he cast out demons. So he called them to himself, and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. And then he will plunder his house. Surely I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Because they said, he has an unclean spirit. It would be good for us as God's chosen people to be able to discern between what is clean and what is holy. It's obvious the leaders at this time didn't recognize Jesus as being the Holy One of God. They said he's out of his mind. He, what? Has Beelzebub. All the work he does is by power of demons, ruler of demons. Can you imagine being called those things and being full of love, full of peace, full of joy, caring, sacrificing? That happens to us in our lives. And as Jesus has an example here, he mentions a couple things that I think that we should very well take note of. He gives a little insight into the heart. He says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man. And he says that after he talks about not only Satan and his kingdom be divided, but he says if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's how households and faiths are broken and destroyed. Satan comes in and binds the heart. Comes in and says, ooh, I don't have to follow Jesus. I can do my own thing. Can't distinguish between what's clean and what isn't clean. What is pure, what is holy, and what is not. How many of us in our lives have seen somebody follow sin and it destroys a marriage relationship? That house cannot stand. Jesus said that. Something has taken hold of somebody's heart. And then he's plundered everything he's had. And for us to recognize that the season of Jesus is to make sure that nothing takes a hold of our heart more than Jesus, more than our salvation, more than our faith. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. That's a tough saying to understand. But if I was trying to explain it to somebody and myself simpler, it's like, if you turn your back on what is holy, if you turn your back on Jesus, if you say Jesus is not the Son of God, if you say Jesus, I'm not going to follow you anymore, those are always a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus even said, you can say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. Yeah. But you haven't given your heart. You've never made a season for Jesus in your life. How many of you ladies decorate your houses for the season? I'm going to stick on the season. I didn't even think about this. It just comes from the book. We went from Thanksgiving. I want to hang out, show of hands. How many of you ladies have decorations and you decorate your house for the season? Okay? The majority of you. Okay? The majority of you, some of you. And I think that's fine. I think it's festive. It's neat. It also gives you something to do instead of looking at that uneasy list. So I'm cool with it. But I say that just to say we take all these things down and then put them away and get all our next season stuff and we put it all and we gotta buy some new stuff for this season and we go shopping for the season. And I would plead with us just to remember as we do that and as we see our spouses doing that, if we don't do it ourselves, is there's a season for Jesus and it's all the time. We don't turn him off and put him in a box and then go get a new Jesus. Or change the Jesus that we have. Season for Jesus is all the time in our hearts. Salvation is all the time in our hearts. Love is all the time in our hearts. Forgiveness, all the time in our hearts. The minute we questioned who Jesus is and his holiness and his greatness, and we even start to think that he is not what he is, maybe he is an unclean spirit, maybe he is something false, we are in great danger. And I plead with us not to reason amongst ourselves and reason away from our faith. In Mark, it is written, chapter 4, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are on the outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven to them. As we reach out and share Jesus, the season of Jesus with people in our lives, there are going to be people that don't want to hear and don't want to see who Jesus really is. He told us that's going to happen. He told us that things are going to be choked out and Satan's going to rob the word from their heart. He told us that there's cares and deceitfulness of the riches and things that are going to tear away people's faith. God's word. And if you wonder why you're not fruitful, I would pray that you would consider that your heart needs to be a little bit more open to God and a little bit more in the season of Jesus. Because Jesus right here says, a lot of these things become unfruitful and choke out being fruitful. Choke out being fishers of men. Choke out following Jesus. Being able to love, forgive. I'm not talking about having a tally board, people you've brought to Christ. Because it's written, we water, we plant, and God gives the increase. But when I forgive my wife 70 times 7, see, I didn't say DC this time, DC. Instead of saying, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive him? You ought to automatically know, I've got to forgive him. I'm following Jesus. It's a season for Jesus in my life. I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit. I know that God says I need to forgive. I believe it's the right thing in my heart to do. I don't want to rationalize being hateful. I want to be like Christ. I want to have the power to love and forgive no matter what. To overcome this world as we talked about in Bible class this morning. I want to be a conqueror over this world. By following Jesus. Our last passage this morning comes from Mark chapter 4 and is written. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone hears, has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you here, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I ask us out of this passage, does Jesus want us to be lights? Does Jesus want us always to be in the season to share him? And with what measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. The world sees that happen, and they call it karma. And God said, it's a truth. It's part of following me. The more I forgive my beautiful wife for things she does against me, guess what? The more she's going to forgive me. I'm going to lead by example by following Jesus. The more my children and grandchildren can see me not being hateful towards other people for any reason and forgiving them, guess what? They're going to learn to do the same thing. Or at least they're going to recognize that I'm following Jesus. It is always a season for Jesus, brothers and sisters and friends. He said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. I ask us this morning, are we fishers of men? That you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, to recognize and to share that with people. They can't live forever unless their sins have been washed away by his blood. I did not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus cares for those people that haven't obeyed the gospel. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Jesus said, to you it has been given you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The good ground are those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you know the Jesus we looked at and talked about this morning. If you don't, we encourage you to become one of his disciples. If you have need of prayers for any reason this morning, we plead with you to make that right in your heart with God as we stand and sing a selected song.